WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
It's back to school season 2022. Getting out of the summer break mindset is challenging enough as it is, but these days there's concern about school safety and the pandemic. How do we help our kids prepare? We're asking a licensed clinical social worker.
When it comes to anxiety and depression, which we're seeing a lot more of, you know, kids don't really know how to cope with those emotions in a healthy way a lot of the times, and it comes out in oppositional behaviors and anger a lot of times.
This is WBTV's Good Question. We are joined now by Molly McDonald, a licensed clinical social worker. First, I wanted to ask you how long you've been doing this and a little bit about what ThriveWorks is.
Yeah, so I've been working in the mental health field for 6 years, 4 years as a licensed clinician. And ThriveWorks provides outpatient services to people of all ages.
Wanted to start with back to school. I know that this is a big time of year for a lot of students and families. Do you hear a lot about stress and anxiety when it comes to back to school?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like every year families and kids and teachers are going to have anxiety around this time of year. I do feel like over the last several years, it's gotten a lot worse. And this is something that I'm really concerned about.
Why is that?
I think that the pandemic certainly played a role in creating an environment of higher stress for everyone. So I think parents are affected by that. Teachers are affected by that. Kids are affected by that. I'm also seeing that issues like safety in the classroom and broader things that are happening in our state and country right now are very much on kids' minds. In addition, think that problems that teachers are facing, and especially the lack of teachers, the high turnover, and the amount of teachers that have left the profession over the past couple of years, and especially, you know, being so short going in this year is very much at the top of teachers' and I'm sure kids' minds as well.
I was curious. So is it noticeable for you when you're, you know, anecdotally just talking to students or parents, is it noticeable these last couple of years that something has kind of shifted?
Yeah, I think that before it seemed like school was a place where that was pretty stable for kids. And now it seems like school is more of a source of anxiety than ever before because of all of the changes and, you know, lack of support specifically around mental health because resources have been kind of allocated to other areas.
When you're talking to parents and students, what do they say the problem is? You know, what are some of the issues that they're dealing with now because some of the larger issues we have in America?
Well, I think certainly with the pandemic, the feeling of being isolated and all of the changes that occurred to schools, you know, whether schools were closed and they were trying to learn from home while, you know, balancing working and things like that. Parents are definitely concerned about that. And I think kids are, you know, coming into this year with a disadvantage because a lot of learning was missed during the first couple of years of the pandemic. And I think that they also just kind of feel an uncertainty around what this year is going to bring. Are they going to have to go back to virtual learning at some point? Is their, you know, teacher going to quit in the middle of the year because of, you know, the high toll on their mental health? So I think that a lot has changed due to the pandemic.
So Molly, how do we begin a conversation then with our kids to kind of take their temperature about some of these things?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's incredibly important to set the atmosphere with our kids that they can talk about anything that they're feeling, whether it's stress because of uncertainty about what this year is going to look like, whether it's stress over feeling like they might not be safe going into the classroom because of the instances of violence that we've been hearing about, even whether it's, you know, broader issues that parents are, you know, really directly affected by, but then kids are affected by as well, like housing challenges, you know, human rights issues, climate change, things like that are very much on kids' minds. And I think as parents and other adults, it's kind of a desire to protect them from those things by not talking about them. But I think by not talking about them, that just, you know, is kind of a breeding ground for anxiety. And so making them feel like they can talk about anything that's on their mind and they won't be judged for it and that that'll be validated is incredibly important.
Do you have any tips for like entering into a serious conversation? I imagine you don't want to just say like, hey, let's talk about, you know, guns in school, Johnny, or something of that sort, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important for parents to kind of set aside regular time to interact with their kid. And like I said, set the precedent for, like, if you bring something up, you're not going to be judged for it. And kind of for parents to get used to being comfortable discussing these topics that can be really uncomfortable. So, you know, if a kid is, you know, sitting at the table, sit down with them and just say, hey, you know, a lot of people are feeling kind of worried about the changes going into the school year. Is there anything that's on your mind that you want to talk about? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the kid's not ready at that point, saying, well, that's okay. You know, I'm always here if you want to talk about anything that's on your mind.
That's what I was thinking about, because I know a lot of times my boy's older now, but when they were in school and you'd ask them about how things are going or how their day went, fine. You know, you'd get that sort of one word answer. You know, how do you draw more out of it? Do you let it go at that point? Do you try to keep pushing to get some information out of them? You know, how do you strike that balance?
Mm-hmm. I think it's really a matter too of modeling for kids that it's okay to talk about things that are worrying you, that are on your mind. So you may even say, we've had a lot of instances of violence that have been on the news. Like, that's kind of something that I've been thinking about. Have you been thinking about that at all? So I think it's okay to let kids know that we don't have all the answers either. And that there are times that we feel these difficult emotions as well.
In addition to school safety and COVID-19, we forget, I guess, I know I sometimes forget about the regular school issues like bullying, for instance. How do we teach kids about bullying these days? I know with social media, that's a game changer and kids are getting phones younger and younger. What advice do you have for parents about avoiding bullying, maybe bringing bullying up in a conversation?
Yeah, I think it's imperative that parents, you know, set some boundaries around social media use and also have those conversations about what supportive relationships and supportive friendships look like and what are areas of concern. So, you know, what's the difference between like back and forth kind of teasing each other and then when it's really important to maybe get help with something because a kid is being targeted over and over again and it's really impacting their self-esteem. So I think kind of setting the tone for being able to identify what's okay and what's not okay in social situations, and also keeping a pulse on, you know, what kids are doing on social media, because I think it can be a wonderful way for them to connect with others that are like-minded and maybe going through some of the same things, but it can also be an opportunity for people to do things that are really cruel and be hiding behind a screen.
What kinds of things should we be looking out for? Behavioral changes, sort of just the communicative changes that we're seeing, you know, in our kids that maybe something is starting to bother them along those lines?
Yeah. So if kids, you know, have kind of unstable emotions, maybe they seem like they're okay, but then we'll have sudden outbursts of yelling or crying. That's definitely something to look out for. If they're withdrawn a lot more than usual, if they, you know, just want to come home and spend time in the room and don't really want to have anything to do with anybody in the family, that's very concerning. And I think too, looking out for things like oppositional behaviors. So if a child is, you know, used to be pretty compliant with chores and things like that, and now is giving a lot of pushback, that could be a sign that maybe they're experiencing some anxiety and trying to control the things that they can control.
That makes me think too, because can you have situations, or are you seeing situations where kids who traditionally have always been excited about school, going to school, never been an issue, and then sort of later on or at some point, you know, it becomes a problem. So, you know, can it sort of pop up even in kids you just, you know, never have had an issue with before?
Yeah, it can definitely pop up in kids that have never had an issue with it before. And I think that when it comes to anxiety and depression, which we're seeing a lot more of, that it doesn't really kind of show up in the same way that it does for adults. And so, you know, kids don't really know how to cope with those emotions in a healthy way a lot of the times. And it can come out in, you know, oppositional behaviors and anger a lot of times.
You touched on this a little bit, Molly, but I wanted to dive a little bit deeper here. Any recommendations for regular times to talk to your kids? Is it a dinner table sort of situation, or how do you make it a routine so that it's not awkward when you really want to ask them about something potentially serious?
Yeah, I think whatever works for your family that you can schedule regularly. So if that is at the dinner table, that's great. If it's, you know, when you're kind of one-on-one in the car with your child, I think that's a really good opportunity to kind of have like a no phone rule. And this is our time to, you know, express whatever is on our mind. If parents can kind of schedule one-on-ones with kids like once a month and like, hey, we're going to go, you know, even through the drive-through line for some ice cream together. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but just making sure that there's, you know, no distractions, and it's really quality time that children can expect and look forward to with their parents. And like I said, it's so important to set the precedent that they're not going to be, you know, punished for speaking their mind about how they're feeling about things. And that they really are able to feel open to talk about whatever is on their mind.
Are there different types of conversations if you're talking about a third grader versus an eighth grader versus an 11th grader?
Yeah, I do think that we should to pay attention to the developmental level of a kid when we're kind of thinking about how honest or how deep to go about certain subjects. And I think one clue that's really important to keep in mind is the kind of questions that they're asking, because a lot of times kids know a lot more than I think we give them credit for. And so they might even, you know, come to you with some misinformation about something that they heard, and don't dumb it down for them. Talk to them on their level about whatever kind of questions they're asking. But I think it's also okay to say that we don't have all the answers either as parents and teachers. There are some things that, you know, we struggle with as well and don't really know how to handle.
Molly, my wife and I have a baby, and we're already dreading the day when we have to have him come home and ask for a phone or a cell phone or something like that. Do you have any hard and fast rules that you give parents about phones and kids?
So again, I think I like to stay away from hard and fast rules for parents. I do really think it's related to the development of the child and their maturity level, because I think there are some, you know, some 10-year-olds that can use social media and use phones at an appropriate level. And I think there are some, you know, 13-year-olds that maybe can't. But I would say definitely, you know, introduce those things slowly. So, you know, give a little bit of kind of freedom at a time, whether it's, you know, 15, 20 minutes with a phone to start out with, and always make sure that you're able to kind of know what kinds of conversations are taking place and where your child is spending time on the internet. And as they show that they are able to make safe choices, I think it makes sense to kind of gradually expand those privileges.
I want to go back to something you were talking about at the beginning, right? We were talking about some of these issues that are popping into parents and kids' minds, whether it's school violence, COVID, you know, et cetera. How do we keep that into some sort of perspective that it doesn't become paralyzing, I guess, you know, that we can still feel like we can live our lives, that, you know what, you're going to probably be safe today. You know what I mean? How do we strike all of that so we aren't just, you know, we don't want kids running around being afraid all the time, right?
Right. That's true. We definitely don't want to, you know, make it so that kids are, you know, always looking over their shoulder for what's going wrong. But again, I think that more information is usually better in the forms of conversations directly with parents. I would say to maybe limit the amount of media that they're taking in and really be able to kind of couple that with, okay, this is what you've seen and this is what I can tell you as a parent. So yes, you know, violent situations are unfortunately something that happen, but you know, they haven't happened in this area. They don't happen everywhere, every single day. We are taking measures to ensure that you're safe in the school. I think that kids also need to learn to cope with a little bit of uncertainty, because we can't tell them for certain that they're always going to be safe every moment of the day.
Molly, before we let you go, any general advice that you'd like to share for parents here as we start this new school year in 2022? Any tips you'd like to offer, or any message you'd like to offer to parents and families?
Yeah, I would say that for kids and parents, definitely don't ignore your feelings if something doesn't feel like it's right. If you feel like you're experiencing more worry, or not wanting to get up in the morning and engage in things that you used to really enjoy. Those are all red flags to pay attention to. You know, don't be afraid to talk to somebody. Don't be afraid to seek help. As far as kind of parents and teachers go, I think, like I said earlier, getting comfortable having those uncomfortable conversations. And, you know, in the classroom, I think it's really important that our educational system spends more time on social emotional learning and teaching kids, you know, how to cope with feelings of anxiety, of depression, how to get along with other kids, how to cope with, you know, symptoms of other mental health conditions like ADHD. And, you know, those coping skills can include things like yoga or coloring or teaching emotional vocabulary. And I think that kids really need time to just be kids and play as well, which is something that I feel like is, you know, kind of being taken out of kids' lives in favor of like really, really structured environments and a lot of academic pressure.
You mentioned academic pressure, because I wanted to ask you quickly about that if I can too, because it's a different time than when I went to college, where they took pretty much anybody who applied. You know, nowadays it's like, you know, to get into some of the schools that people think they want to go to, you're talking 4.3, 4.5 grade point averages, taking these high level courses all through high school. What is the stress level that's creating? How do we manage that? How do we keep our kids in perspective to be kids as well, while also obviously wanting them to do well academically?
Yeah, I mean, I think that academic pressure, especially for high schoolers, has just skyrocketed mm-hmm. over the past several years. And I think education is very important, but I also think that we have to balance that with the tolls that mental health can take if, you know, a child is struggling with something like anxiety because of that pressure. So I think that having a more balanced view and letting kids know that like their life isn't going to be over if they get some C's and B's. Mm-hmm. They'll still be able to you know, get an education. They might not get their top choice school, but they'll likely be able to still, you know, pursue the career path that they want to go to. And the importance of good mental health and good balance, I think, can, you know, take precedent over going to an Ivy League school.
Yeah, talk more about that, because that is going to come up pretty quickly, especially for, you know, seniors, right? Getting, you know, choice of college and applications are in, and they're going to start getting, acceptance letters back or not back. How do you sort of handle that if they don't get the school that they were hoping for? And just how do you handle that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're all going to have things that we don't succeed in our lives. And I think that setting kids up to be able to kind of manage feelings of rejection or failure is really important. So, you know, letting them know that they may not get their first choice yeah. school that we really hope that they do, but if they don't, they can, you know, use that as an opportunity to maybe kind of see what they need to improve upon. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can go to a different school and have the option of, you know, transitioning later on, that they're always going to have other options.
And that kind of even made me think about athletics too, right? There's tryouts for all these things going on. That's another stress and anxiety, and just sort of the scheduling of our kids, right? We have them doing so many things 24/7. It feels like, does that worry you?
Yeah, that really worries me. And I think that goes back to what I was talking about earlier, that kids need to have some time to just play and be kids. But I think, you know, high schoolers and adults need that time as well. And I think it's really unreasonable to think that our kids can have, you know, every moment of the day scheduled and, you know, some kind of pressure to perform in each of those activities and still be able to be balanced. I think that's really unrealistic. And I think that we need to make sure that we're giving kids options. Obviously we want them to follow their passions, and whether it's, you know, track or music or whatever they're involved with, but maybe scale it back a little bit. They don't have to do everything every season, maybe just one or two things each season, and leave room for exploring, you know, other passions that maybe aren't so structured.
Molly, we really appreciate it. Molly McDonald, licensed clinical social worker with ThriveWorks here in Charlotte. Thank you so much, Molly.
Thank you.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bowl. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.